finished, he said. We had watched as his life ebbed away.
Then we all stood around till the guards took him down. Joseph begged for his body that day.
It was late afternoon when we got to the tomb, wrapped his body and sealed up the grave.
So I know how you feel. His death was so real. But please listen and hear what I say.
I've just seen Jesus. I tell you, he's alive. I've just seen Jesus. Our precious Lord alive.
And I knew.
Yes, I words asking what was her reason for tears.
And I sobbed in despair. My Lord is not there.
He said, child, it is I am here. I've just seen Jesus.
Amen. Let's lift our hands and worship Him. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus, living Lord. Praise the Lord. That song has encapsulated what I want to share with you this morning. And if you'd like to turn to Mark chapter 16, and church, though it's our custom to stand, I want to invite you to remain seated this morning, if you just remain seated. And as you're turning, once again, it's so good to see everyone, every visitor here. We're so grateful that you're here. And I'm going to mention one because he's been through such a trauma to get here. It's sure good to see Brother Brock this morning. Amen. You've heard it sung and some read about, and so I just picked a few verses to call it back to our minds. It says, "Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils." She was a bad lady. Verse 10. "And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed it not." I want to preach this morning. It's been the theme throughout the service, running in to the resurrected Lord. You see, to run into someone is to encounter someone you never expected. You ran into them. You didn't expect to encounter them. I've heard folks share a shocking experience. One happened in the church. I heard a brother say he thought a certain individual had passed away. They were dead. He said the next thing he knew, they came walking in the church. Said it freaked me out. I heard a sister share how she thought somebody was dead and was at Kroger's shopping. And in the aisle, she ran into that, we'll call him Bill Smith, but she ran into Bill and she said, "It freaked me out. I thought he was dead." You see, there's a difference between those two stories and the stories I'm going to share with you, because the ones I shared, they only thought the person was dead. Let's take the lady at Kroger's. It would have been a different thing if she had been at the visitation of Bill, saw him in the casket. She went out to the cemetery and watched the casket lowered into the ground. And then she ran into him in Kroger's. That would have been a whole complete different story. But I want you to know, those who ran into Jesus didn't just think that he was dead. They knew he had died. I mean, they had been there. They watched him breathe his last on the cross. They watched the soldier thrust that spear into his side and the blood ran out. They had watched them wind his body with linen and put something over his face that he could have never breathed through. They watched him put in a tomb and the stone rolled across. They didn't think Jesus had died. They knew Jesus had died. And yet just days later, they started running into him. When you know something, it didn't freak them out. It changed their lives. They were never more the same. I've heard an atheist say that we should never believe that there's any proof that Jesus is risen from the dead. He said, the only thing we have is people testifying that they saw him alive. Well, you know, first of all, I kind of feel like, duh. I mean, they didn't have video cameras back then to keep focused on the tomb or inside the tomb. What else could you have but the testimony of people? And beyond that, how many knows that every day in our courts, decisions are made and judgments are made based on the testimony of witnesses? The atheist doesn't know what he's talking about. That is powerful proof and powerful evidence that people said, "We saw him buried. We watched him die. And days later, we began to run into him." What a testimony. I'm going to look at some of those testimonies. And I want you to know that they weren't running into an apparition or a ghost of Jesus. He ate food with them, and they touched him, and they were able to pat him on the shoulder. He was there in proximity with them. It was no ghost. It was Jesus. And in these testimonies, two of them are followers who immediately believed when they ran into the resurrected Lord. Two of them were followers who struggled to believe when they ran into him. And two were belligerent unbelievers, and they kept insisting that they would not believe until they ran in to the resurrected Lord. If you would indulge me, I've got some depositions of their testimonies I'd like to share. First, we have as a witness Mary Magdalene. I watched Jesus die. I watched him buried. As soon as the Sabbath was over, I went to his tomb to anoint his body. I had no idea how I and the sisters who went with me would ever roll the stone away from the door. You can imagine how surprised we were when we got there to see that the stone was already rolled away. You can also imagine how our hearts sank even deeper into grief when we looked inside and his body was gone. Someone had stolen his body. That's what we thought at the time. There were those two extraordinary men in the tomb, angels, we realized later. They spoke the obvious. They said, "He is not here." And I felt like, duh, we can see that. But then they followed with these incredible words, "He is risen." Later, I stood outside the burial cave weeping. And as I wept, I stooped down and looked inside again. Those two angels were still there, and they asked me as if they didn't get it, "Why are you weeping?" I told them, "Because someone's stolen the body of my Lord, and I don't know where they've put it." I turned away from the tomb, now weeping even more profusely. And as I turned, a man I thought to be the gardener asked me as if he wanted to be helpful. He said, "Why are you weeping? Whom are you searching for?" Here was someone that might know something. And so I said to him, "Oh, sir, if you had to move his body for any reason, just please tell me where it's at and I'll take that body off your hands." But the man spoke again. And all he said was, "Mary?" My mind began exploding. How did he know my name? Wait, that voice is familiar. That's Jesus' voice. Through my tears, I had not looked closely at the man, and now I rubbed the tears out of my eyes, and I whirled around. It was he. All I could say was, "Master, Master, Master." You cannot imagine the joy, the hope, the peace that flooded my heart. He was alive. I had run into the resurrected Lord. And I learned later that I, a woman who had been possessed by seven demons, a woman with a dark past, a woman despised by society, that I, a woman, was the very first person Jesus showed himself to when he was risen from the dead. And my life has never been the same since I ran into him. Here's another witness, Peter. Jesus got to talking all this stuff about going to Jerusalem and being killed. And I didn't understand what that had to do with getting rid of Romans and setting up the Messiah's kingdom. But I knew one thing. I was going to stick with him. I blurted out, "Lord, if you go to prison, I'm going with you. If you face the executioner, I'll be right there, my head on the chopping block beside yours." And then Jesus looked at me with this incredible sadness and said, "Oh no, Peter, you won't. When confronted, you will deny that you ever knew me. Three times you will deny me." That was embarrassing in front of the other disciples. And I protested vehemently that I would never, ever, ever deny him. Later that night, in the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, we were praying. Well, Jesus was praying. I was snoozing. Suddenly, dark shapes surrounded us. It was the Jewish authorities and their guards. They arrested Jesus and tied him up like a dangerous criminal. My fellow disciples fled out into the night. John and I followed at a safe distance. We stuck to the shadows. We followed to the high priest's house where they put Jesus in a mockery of a trial. But John knew the servants there, and he got us into the courtyard. And while I was warming myself by the fire, different ones kept accusing me of being one of Jesus' followers. I told them I wasn't. The lie just came out of my lips as I looked around the guards, some standing right beside me. How quickly they could nab me like they had Jesus and lead me off to have my head removed. I kept protesting, but one after the other kept insisting. And suddenly I began to curse. About that time, Jesus being led to another interrogation passed me. And as he passed, he looked at me with the saddest eyes. Simultaneously, I realized I was hearing the sound of a cock's crowing, feeling the dawning day, and I stumbled out of the courtyard sobbing. I had denied my Lord, my friend, my master, what scum I was, and I had broken from the only one who had ever given me hope. It was over. I had denied the source of eternal life. You can imagine my surprise when just days later, the women came and told me that Jesus had risen from the dead. You can imagine how surprised I was that they also told me that when they had seen him, he had told them to tell me he wanted to meet with me back at home, back in Galilee. I ran to the tomb and found it empty except for the grave clothes. I fully intended of going to Galilee for the scheduled meeting with him, but I ran into him in Jerusalem. Actually, he ran into me purposefully. Since I ran into the resurrected Lord, my life was forever changed. I began to use my mouth not to boast, but to tell others about this Jesus. I never again denied him. Fittingly, I faced the same kind of death as he did. To shut me up, the Roman emperor sentenced me to be crucified. But I made a request. I was not worthy to be crucified just as my Lord had been. Crucify me upside down, I asked. And they did. Here's another witness, Thomas. I must see evidence. My mind works like that. I can't just take someone's word for it. They killed Jesus. They buried him. And as far as I was concerned, it was over with. It was like every dream, every plan, everything. It was final, like death. I was in such a funk when my brother followers got together. I didn't bother to go. Why would I? But they found me later and regaled me with an incredible tale. They said that when they were together with the doors locked and barred, that suddenly Jesus, the one killed and buried, just materialized among them. I asked them, how did you know that it was he? Listen, they told me that he showed them the scars from his crucifixion. But no one ever has scars from a crucifixion because no one ever survives a crucifixion. And besides, how did the wounds heal that quickly? Jesus hadn't survived. He had died. I watched him. But I knew these men. They were not liars. There had to be another explanation. And so I declared to them, I cannot believe that who you saw was really Jesus, and I won't believe it until I trace the scars in his hands with my finger and I feel the scar in his side with my hand. Of course, there was another problem. Amen. I didn't believe the wounds were real. A week later, my brothers all got together, and I decided to show up. And we were all chatting in the room when suddenly he was there. Later, they claimed they had said nothing to Jesus about what I had said. But there he was in front of me saying, Thomas, go ahead, feel these scars in my hands and my side. And the scars were there, but the wounds were healed. There was the sound of his voice, the way he said my name. He continued to speak to me, be not faithless, but believing. It was so amazing. The Lord was alive. He had risen from the dead. The weight of wonder drove me to my knees, and I heard myself saying, oh, my Lord and my God, my life was never the same after running into Jesus in that room at the supper. I believe completely and without a doubt. What about James? I was Jesus' brother, half-brother. I didn't know all that about Jesus being conceived before Mom married Dad. Jesus was always different, annoyingly so. I had a brother who never did anything wrong. He was always perfect. Then he began preaching and working those miracles. If he was really so special, why didn't he just go to Jerusalem and declare himself the Messiah and show him what he could do? My brothers and I encouraged him to do just that at the feast, but he wouldn't even come with us. He came later. None of we brothers believed that he was the Messiah. We had grown up with him. I mean, he was different, but he was just another member of the family. Once Mom and we brothers went to see him as he did his preaching thing, we sent word that we were there, but he would even stop preaching and healing to come and see us. So I don't know if it was jealousy or annoyance, but I didn't want anything to do with this half-brother of mine. Then he caused so much trouble, our leaders killed him. They crucified him. It was sad, but kind of relieved too. maybe folks would leave us alone now. The next thing I knew, there was a rumor going around that he had come back from the dead and that people had seen him. That's all we needed. Mom's heart had been broken and crushed when she watched my brother die. And now this ridiculous rumor would just stir things up again. But then I ran into Jesus, my brother, and he said, James. And I saw the scars in his hand, and I knew his voice. I had grown up hearing his voice. I knew it was my brother. But at that moment, I realized he wasn't just my brother. He was the Messiah. He was the Lord. He was God. I believe completely and totally. All my anger, jealousy, bitterness disappeared. I felt joy and love and peace. And I wanted to serve this brother of mine, this God of mine, as I watched him serve so many others. And I did. I became the pastor of his followers in Jerusalem. I even wrote about our faith in a letter that would become a part of our scripture. My life was completely changed by running in to this resurrected Lord. And last, folks, I'll leave with you one more testimony of those that ran into Jesus. Saul. I was a student of the scriptures and the law. I was taught by the greatest teacher of the day and was on my way to being one of the main religious leaders of the Jews. Then our world was turned upside down by this man called Jesus. He claimed to be our Messiah, and he openly rebuked us religious leaders as hypocrites. We killed him, but his disciples claimed he had risen from the dead. They had hidden like rats in dark holes, hidden from us, afraid that we would put them to death too. But now they were out in the streets and every public forum, preaching that Jesus was Messiah and Lord, and that those who would call on his name would be saved. He had risen from the dead. I felt anger, righteous anger. I fought then against this cult, these false prophets, these deluded folks. We stoned one of their preachers, a man called Stephen. And I held the coats of those that smashed his life out of him. I didn't show it, but it shocked me. It shocked me when just before Stephen died, he looked up to heaven and claimed he saw this Jesus at the right hand of God. And then he asked God to forgive those who had stoned him. It made me more angry. The leaders made me a special agent to deal with this cult. I began to make things really rough for them. I would find where they met for worship and I'd arrest the whole lot. Or I'd find where they lived and show up in the night and drag their family away. We would harass them, persecute them, interrogate them, anything to get them to deny this Jesus. A few did. Most didn't. Many we threw into prison. Some we even killed. We only succeeded in driving many of these Christians out of town. I heard that there were a bunch of them worshiping this Jesus in Damascus. So I asked the leaders for letters authorizing me to arrest these cultists or bring them back to Jerusalem to punish them. We started out to Damascus full of anticipation of letting those Christians have it. But before we got there, I ran into the resurrected Lord. Suddenly there was this brilliant light from heaven shining in my eyes. It was brighter than the sun. And as I fell to the ground overcome, I heard someone speaking to me. Saul, why are you persecuting me? I could hear the authority in his voice. I was quivering inside, and I addressed this person respectfully. Lord, who are you? And he spoke and he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. And I knew truly it was he, and truly he was alive. That moment forever changed my life. Immediately, completely, and totally, I had come to Damascus to arrest and punish any follower of Jesus. But when I got there, I preached that Jesus was Lord and Messiah, and people ought to follow him. Now I was preaching because I had encountered him. He is alive, and he changed my life. Amen. Music, would you come? Everyone who ran into the resurrected Lord was changed. Not just in those days, but in our days. They were changed completely and totally. When they ran into the resurrected Lord, they made a complete U-turn in their life. Could I tell you, nothing has changed. If you would encounter him this morning, the living Lord, it would drastically, completely, and totally change your life. And there would be a U-turn in your living. Amen. I want you to ask the question, what would Mary Peter, Thomas, and Saul's lives have been like if they had not met this resurrected Lord. Amen. You who believe, you who are followers this morning in this house, what would your life have been like if you had not ran into the resurrected Lord? Cecil, you told us. What would your life be like tonight if you hadn't ran into the resurrected? Sister Pat, what would your life have been like if you had not run in to the resurrected Lord? Amen. Sister Deb, what would your life be like had you not ran in to the resurrected Lord? If you're here and you're not a follower of Him, ask this question. What is your life like without Him? Where's the purpose? Where's the meaning? Where's the reality? Where's the hope of eternal life? You've not run into Him. What is your life like? Amen. A deeper question would be, what is it going to be like? Not just the end of your days, but into eternity without Him. Amen. If you would answer those questions honestly, I've got good news for you this morning. If you've not yet encountered the resurrected Lord, you can this morning, because He lives. He is here by His Spirit. Amen. He does know your name like He knew Mary's and like He knew Donna's. And He'll call you by name. You will know that He's Lord. You will know that He can save you. You will know. I'm telling you, if He has risen from the dead, He can cause your sins to leave. He can give you a new life, a new beginning, a new purpose, a new reality. Hallelujah. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. He's not like a medicine to make you feel good. He's a Lord to give your life to, your living to, your heart to, your destiny to, your future to. He is Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I want to close with this, but I had read a story this week that I couldn't dismiss as I prepared. It's a story about a judge who was a veteran having another veteran come into his court, an alcoholic that suffered from PTSD. It's messing his life up. The judge condemned him to prison but went and spent time with him in prison and kept calling the fellow vet up that was suffering. Someone asked him why, and he said, because a soldier never leaves a wounded brother behind. And then that judge, that former veteran, told a story. It's an allegory, but it's powerful. He said there was a veteran in a very deep, deep, dark, dark hole. His family came and threw a rope to him and begged him to climb out of the hole, but he wouldn't. He stayed. They called a therapist. The therapist came and reasoned with him and threw a rope into the hole and begged him to come out, but he wouldn't come out. They called the first responders. The first responders came and threw a rope in the hole, tried to do everything they could to get him to climb the rope and come out, and he stayed in that darkness, bowed his head over. They even called the pastor. And the pastor came and read scripture and threw the rope over and prayed and read some more scripture. But the veteran stayed in the deep, dark hole. But then a fellow veteran came, threw a rope down into the hole, but climbed down the rope into the hole beside the other veteran. The depressed veteran looked up and said, "What are you doing here? Why did you climb down here?" And the other veteran said, "Because I climbed down so I could climb out with you with me. I climbed down so I could climb out with you with me." I want to tell you, that's the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We were in an awful, awful, awful dark hole, but He climbed down all the way from heaven. He climbed down to the very pit of our sin, because He that knew no sin, He became the sin offering. He climbed down into our hole so He could climb out in the resurrection and bring us with Him. I'm telling you, you don't have to stay in the hole this morning. If you're in the pit, if you're in the sin, if you're in the darkness, if you're in the hole, thank God he's coming to the world to save us. He's climbed down into the, but I'm telling you, he has resurrected from the deepest of holes. He has resurrected from the grave. He has resurrected from the darkness of death. He is resurrected so that he could bring us with him. Are you thankful for him? Would you stand in this building? Lift your hearts and hands and let's praise him throughout this house. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Oh, how he loves you. He died when every one of us were yet sinners, unworthy of salvation. He rose again to give us eternal, everlasting life. I wonder if you're not familiar with our church, we use these steps as an altar. You see, I keep telling you, please listen, we're done. I keep telling you that folks ran into Jesus, but the only reason they ran into him is because he put himself in their path. And you can run into Jesus this morning in this house, and I'll tell you why. He has placed himself in your path. You have heard his voice. He has spoken. He has drawn. I want to encourage you this morning, if you want to totally bow before him and surrender your heart, your life, surrender yourself to this Jesus and let him crawl out of the hole with you this morning, I would invite you to come. Would you come right now? You just would honestly say, I need Jesus. I've got to have Jesus. I don't like the way my life has been up to this point. Would you come right now? If you need to ask somebody to move aside so you can get out of the pew, just say, excuse me. But I want you to know, amen, you can encounter the living Lord in this altar this morning. I want to ask the believers, I want to ask you to pray right now, amen, the Holy Spirit would move and that folks would find, amen, the ability, amen, to come to the Lord and to meet with him and let him change their lives this morning. Are you here? Would you like to come right now? This is the moment. Amen. That's it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He does know you by name. He is called your name. Listen. You cannot help yourself. There's no way out of the hole. There's no way out of the hole by yourself. You've got to have help. Amen. That's why he's the Savior. You can kneel here at these altars, folks. We'll immediately pray with you. Amen. Are there others that like to come? Amen. There's no other way of salvation. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Are there others here you'd like to come this morning? Would you like to come right now? Oh, God is calling. Hallelujah. If you know he's alive, wave a hand. You know he's alive. Hallelujah. 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 These altars are open. Would you come right now? Amen. I'm going to invite others to come and pray. The believers, the followers. And as they're coming to pray, would you come with them? Would you come and encounter the Lord? Would you come and let him move in your life? Would you come, followers of Christ, as they're coming? Would you join them and just simply say, I need Jesus. Amen. We'll make a place to pray. I need him. I've got to have him. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Would you come and fill these altars? That's it. That's it. Others, you would come. Amen. I need you. The Bible does say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. He's alive. He hears your cry. He comes to your rescue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, there's still room to pray. If you'd like a place to pray, there's room to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, you need him. Would you call out to him? Maybe you've not even been able to get to the front. Would you speak his name? Would you call out his name? Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I've got to have you. You are the living Lord. You've defeated death. You've defeated sin. You've defeated darkness. You've defeated alcohol. You've defeated drugs. You've defeated the wicked one.
He loves you and me. Oh, how
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me.
Oh, call on his name.
Oh, how he loves you and me.
Pour out your heart to him. Mary was weeping.
Oh, how
Thomas was
he loves you and me.
Peter was broken. James was a skeptic.
Oh, how he loves you.
Hallelujah.
And me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh,